don't replicate what happened in 2018. Replicate what happened in 1993. And here is the voice of the Maple Leafs. You'll be able to hear him with the call tonight right here on TSN Radio as we head down to Boston now and catch up with Joe Bowen. Bonesy, do you feel nostalgic? Does it feel more like 93 or 2013 or 2018 for you?
It feels like 2019. It's new. It's right. Different. It's a new group. It's a group that has experienced the bitter taste of it a year ago. And I think to a man have sat in that room and said, don't want to have that happen again. And get an opportunity here to slay the dragon in its own lair and see if they can't move on. So a game seven, I don't know if you can ever get a real good feeling. I suppose if you come back from 3-0 and you force game seven, you've got all that momentum riding. But there's really been no big momentum charges in this series. It's gone back and forth and back and forth. And so now here this team arrives at the Toronto Dominion Garden, having won twice in this building already, hoping to do it for a third time.
Bones, you're around the crew. Did you get a sense of any nerves or a calmness over this group? Take us around the team and just see, is the anxiety level high, or are they quite poised for a young core?
Noodles, I think it was more workmanlike. I don't think anybody thought this was going to be a short series. They knew that Boston had home ice advantage, thought that maybe they'd wrestled it away, ended up giving it back. And now you're in a game seven. And I think as disappointing as it was a year ago, it could be a real motivating factor and a key part of their makeup going forward in this game and knowing what to expect. So I thought that it was very workmanlike. Everyone was all excited about it and ready to go to work.
Well, there's been a lot made of the idea that the Maple Leafs are going to have to win for a third time in that building. And I've been kind of talking about this the past couple of days. I didn't believe it had happened often throughout NHL history. That said, someone sent me a text in the previous hour that Washington did it to Columbus last year and to Tampa last year. Yep. And St. Louis just did it to Winnipeg a week ago.
Yep.
So it's not unprecedented. It has happened, and the Leafs have been better on the road, quite frankly.
And I'm not sure whether you played in any of the old rinks that home ice was a big advantage, because the dimension of the arena was different in a lot of locations.
Yeah.
And that made it, the Chicago Stadium was home ice advantage. The old Boston Garden was home ice advantage. Buffalo Memorial Odd was home ice advantage because the rinks were different.
Yep.
It's a noise factor. And if you can make it white noise and just feed off the energy that's there and not have that affect you, I think that it becomes really just another building to play in.
I played in all of those buildings, and the one thing you can do to silence them is score first or have a great start and get the crowd against you. That happens sometimes. The crowd is so amped up, and they want to see something positive, and if it's not going early on, they get antsy, and they get loud, and they get,
negative. They'll turn on their own team.
They'll turn, exactly. So I think that's the best way to take the crowd out of it is to have success early on and continue to push. But, yeah, those buildings, they had an aura around them. The Spectrum in Philadelphia.
Yep,
you go right down the line. Like, they were scary and intimidating to go into. These multiplexes were, multifaceted. They're all cookie cutter. They look the same. They feel the same. So the one thing I have noticed, and we haven't even talked about, is the ice conditions. Both teams have kind of...
The Bruins have complained more.
The Bruins especially have complained about their own rink.
Exactly.
Yes, for sure. Now, this is the 173rd Game 7 in the history of the National Hockey League. If you score the first goal of the game 128 times previously, that team's gone on to win. That's almost 75%. So I think your point is well made, Noodles. If you get the opening goal and you can build on that, then you're in a great position. But having said that, the Leafs scored the first goal of the game the other night, and the Boston Bruins promptly came back and scored the next three. So you've got to be able to protect the lead, play with the lead. But getting the lead, I think, most teams and most players and most coaches will say, it's a lot more fun and it's a lot easier playing with the lead than trying to catch the game.
With Joe Bowen, who's going to have the call tonight right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop at 7, Leafs Bruins game 7. You know, I mentioned 93, and Nikolai Borshevsky was a good player, and he was playing with Gilmour for the majority of the year. But I wouldn't say he was a superstar. And back then, Bonesy, I mean, you called both of them. Borshevsky scores in overtime in Game 7 in Detroit, and then two nights later, Gilmour scores at home in second overtime against St. Louis. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? You could have a superstar that scores tonight. You could have a guy further down the lineup. Where's your focus at in terms of the players that you're really pinpointing tonight?
Well, Andreas Janssen played in a Game 7 last year and won the Calder Cup and the most valuable player and scored two goals in it.
Right.
And there's a guy that probably is going to embrace the opportunity. And right now, the hottest player the Leafs have going has been Austin Matthews. And, this is it could be a career-defining moment if he has the big game. But then you look back to what happened last July and the signing of John Tavares and Johnny Toronto coming home, and why he wanted to come home was for just this moment, this kind of game, this kind of pressure, this kind of attention. So I'm looking for him to have a breakout night here. He's only scored once, and that was when no one was playing goal. So I think that we're going to see a big effort from John Tavares, and I wouldn't be surprised we see him utilized a little more by the coach, maybe even in penalty killing situations, because they're getting massacred in the faceoff dot while they're a man short.
Well, that's been such a big topic of discussion, is that penalty kill. I mean, they're shooting at like 54%, which simply cannot continue. But you've got one crack at it tonight. You know, you've got to kill. You've got to go out there and lay it on the line. And I know Mike Babcock's been spending the past 48 hours convincing people that he's just going to continue to coach the way he's always coached. And he's going to try to ask his players to do simply what he's been asking them to do through 82 regular season games and six playoff games. But do you think the book could get thrown out at any point during this game tonight?
It's Game 7.
Right.
I don't know as there is a book. You have to win this game. And if somebody's going real good, well, he's going to get out on the ice a lot more. When you're losing or winning 29% of the faceoffs in the defensive zone penalty killing, something has to change there. I mean, just a faceoff win and an icing and get off is 20 seconds off the clock. So I think that is a key part of it. But who knows? Maybe they won't have to kill a penalty.
Right.
Then who cares, right? It's funny that the least penalized team over the course of the regular season is playing against the 30th most penalized team, who average 10 minutes a game, who are now just averaging 5 minutes of penalties and are the least penalized team in the playoffs. So they've turned almost turned a different coat of colors here in the second half or in the playoffs. And I'm talking about the Bruins. So it'll be interesting to see how it's officiated tonight. Wes McCauley and Kelly Sutherland are in charge of the game, and Game Sevens and officiating, a lot of times things get let go because of the enormity of the game and how that is perceived. Does it help the Bruins, or will it help the Leafs to stay out of the penalty box? It'll be an interesting situation.
Yeah, that's an element we haven't brought up a lot today, where, you know, the role of officiating. And Noodles, you started today with some sort of anxiety that there's going to be a...
Bones, I'm just a little bit concerned. We see trends every playoff. You know, puck over glass, which is, you know, it's a black and white. It's a black and white.
I just love that rule.
It is. It's a black and white rule, though. But, you know, offsides and the challenging, and now this year it seems to be goaltender interference. And I just want a Game 7 to not be decided. I want the players to decide it. And good hockey. I don't want it to be a subjective call and where we're not sure. You're sitting there the other night. Brian, you've been against this the whole time.
I hate review, period, across the board. I hate it.
And he's been consistent. I've wavered.
I let Ralphie look at the monitor and discuss it, and I just sit tight-lipped because I've given up. I really have. Every time I think it's one way, it goes the other, and I just say to myself, I don't know what it is anymore, so why would I speculate? Let them just tell us, and then let's play on.
Yeah.
What's this I'm hearing about Westwood 1 playing a hero role tonight?
Come on!
What's going on
down
there?
We're bumped down into the corner of the rink. The game's a rumor from over here. It's going to be here they come, there they go, for crying out loud. Well, what's that all about?
It's a game set. Treat it like a game seven, Bosey.
We will.
We got faith in you guys. Say hi to Ralphie for us and enjoy it tonight.
Hi, Ralphie. He says hi back.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Bonesy.
See you guys.
Here's Joe Bowen. Joe Bowen, Jim Ralph tonight. Game 7, puck drop at 7 right here on TSN 1050.